Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 44. We've certainly enjoyed the day. We enjoyed a lovely meal at noon, a fellowship at the home of the Jacksons. Time of rest, just the whole thing went back in the back room, lay down on the bed. Mr. Jackson went in another room, laid down. Mr. Jackson laid down on the couch, and I got to recline. Now that's the best thing. That's where I spend most of my sleeping moments, is in a recliner at night. I can sleep there when I can't sleep any other place. I got the recliner and studied a bit, and I was asleep before we ever could decide to relax. I could not stay awake, so I got me about a 30, 45 minute nap, and everybody else was still asleep, and I studied. Tried not to get too loud of praying. Pretty soon the phone rang, so I don't know whether the phone woke them up or I did, but the phone rang and woke them up, but we just enjoyed the day. Thank you for your kindness, your hospitality, and we just appreciate everything so much. And we've mentioned this morning, we've known Brother Don for, well, quite a long time, and some of you I remember seeing through the years. Brother King, I've seen him through the years, and some of you I remember seeing through the years, but we've just enjoyed it tremendously. Well, it's time to get down to business and get down to the Word. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. The unexpected hour. Let's pray. Jesus, we look to you this evening, knowing, Lord, that you're concerned about your people. Lord, we know that you want everyone to be ready. For you died on Calvary's cross, that whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this evening. Help us, O God, to surrender our lives totally to you day by day, that we may be ready for that unexpected hour. Lord, in ordinance of the Holy Ghost and fire, we stand in need of it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've experienced some unexpected hours in my life, and I'm sure you have too. I remember back in 1964, before we came to Texas the first time, I was traveling down a highway by myself. The speed limit then was 65 miles an hour. Now, northwestern Oklahoma, as I traveled down the highway, the road was clear. There was a car sitting on the shoulders. I approached a bridge. And I got right up, right to the back of that car, and that car whipped out right in front of me. I've heard people say, in an unexpected moment like that, that their entire life flashed before them. Maybe so, but I didn't have time to think of anything. I didn't have time to get my foot on the brake. I was driving my hand about that angle on the steering wheel, and I got the wheel turned to right there. And I know it was turned that far because my face caught my fist right there. Didn't put a scar on my face, but it broke my jaw through my mouth. My jaw poked me sideways, threw this one out of place, broke this one. Broke a few ribs on both sides, banged me around, but it was an unexpected hour. I thought in just a few minutes I was going to meet a church boy. Interview for a church out in western Oklahoma, just a few miles from there. But it was an unexpected hour. I called Sister Hope the next morning. I told the folk not to call her, scare her half to death, and she'd get in my other car and take off out there, and she can't see much at night. There'd be another wreck. So I called her the next morning. I knew the pastor of the local little town in Cherokee, Oklahoma. He used to be my pastor at one time. I called him the next morning when they dismissed me. Asked him if he could come and get me, and I called my wife to come. When I called her, she said, "Where are you?" And I said, "Well, I spent the night in the Masonic Hotel here in Cherokee last night, and I want you to come after me. He said, what's the matter? What did you do? Where's the car? I said, well, I sold it. Who did you sell it to? Sold it to Preferred Risk. She said, you got a wreck, didn't you? Well, I'll not go into all of that. They thought I had a lot of internal injuries and so on, but I didn't. But that was an unexpected hour in my life. I've experienced a few more. We was talking about this afternoon over to the Jacksons. We were pastoring in Chicota, Oklahoma, church running around 200, 230, and we lived about 3 miles east of town, or west of town, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, my bed shook. I woke us up 4 miles away in the town on the interstate. A truckload of bombs from the depot in McAllister was driving down the interstate, and a woman in a car went around this truck and pulled back in and hit the brake and stopped right quick, and that truck couldn't stop that quick to run in the back of the car. The people weren't injured that bad. They got out, but he said, let's get away from here. And that car burst into flames. The gasoline tank caught a fire. He knew he had a truckload of bombs. They flagged a car coming the other direction and take them to a truck stop on the west side of town. They called in. I had some men in my church who was on the volunteer fire department. He called. It was a hazardous load, and they thought they was fighting a gasoline fire. They didn't know they was fighting a load of bombs. And while one of my deacons was standing down below pouring water at that truck, they could see it up on the freeway, and they was down below. Another bomb went off. Knocked him off of the fire truck. All he got was a thumb knocked down where he hit the ground. But it was an unexpected hour for him. He said, if we'd have known that'd been bombs, we wouldn't have had this fire truck out here. We'd have been getting everybody out of town. That's what they did after those bombs started going off. Two of them, I think, never did go off. Three of them went off, and two of them just kind of did like you break a firecracker in two and set it in a little fuse. Two of them did that and sent poisonous gases out. Three of them went off. It tore places up all over town. We lived 4 miles away, and it shook us the way it woke us up. It was an unexpected hour. The Bible tells us of some unexpected hours. Back in 1979, when that tornado came through Wichita Falls, it was an unexpected hour. Let's look at a few unexpected hours stated in the Word of God. In the book of Genesis tells us about an unexpected hour. God said, Noah, the filthiness and the unrighteousness in so many words of this world has come up before me. The wickedness of this world has come up before me. In 120 years, I'm going to destroy this earth. You talk about wickedness in the days of Noah. Just a few verses before the scripture I read, you said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. This world is wicked tonight. The Bible said even the imagination of their thoughts was wicked in Noah's day. You can't be around a group in this world hardly any time they'll start telling a filthy joke. Sister Holker and I, because of our young age, are members of what they know is called the 55 Advantage in Bethania Hospital, Wichita Falls. Maybe some of you here, if you register as that, then you can just go right on in. You're already pre-registered, and they have some things for the 55 Advantage. I'm at least 55. What did I start to say before I got off on that? Yeah, thank you, Sister Holker. We was at one just the other day, and I think that lady had learned a lesson. But she had turned that thing. She's a fine black lady, very cheerful, and we was meeting out at Luby's cafeteria and in the banquet room, and she's always got jokes, always good plate jokes she has. But she said, some of you want to tell a joke? Oh, she didn't, shouldn't have done that. Somebody told one that's pretty right. And another guy said, I got one. One of them was a lady that told one, I think, the other was a man. Maybe I shouldn't have said lady. One of them was a woman. One of them was a man. And they kept getting worse, and she said, "That's enough for now." And I noticed just Friday we was the one, and she didn't turn that thing open anymore, Joe. I said all that to say this. The imagination of the hearts of people today in this world is wicked. It's unrighteous. God said, "No, I'm going to destroy this earth in 120 years. I want you to build a boat out of gopher wood. Build it approximately 500 feet long, approximately 75 feet wide. It's measured in cubits, and a cubit is from the elbow to the tip of the finger, which runs anywhere from 18 to 22 inches, depending on how long an arm you got. And so I'm using the shorter figure there. And so it was approximately 500 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 or 50 feet tall in three stories. And he said, "I want you to build that boat, and I want you to take the animals and the birds and all in two by two, bring you in plenty of food, get your family in. I'm going to bring a rain upon the earth, and it's going to flood." I believe all the time Noah was building that ark, he was preaching, "God's judgment's going to fall." They didn't think he could. Why, it never rained before. This world's been standing all these years. It never rained. Have you ever had anybody tell you, I've heard that story about the coming of the Lord on my life? Hadn't happened yet. That's just fulfillment of Scripture, because the Bible said in the last days men would say that. He got the ark built, brought the animals in, got his family in, and God shut the door. Now the Bible tells us earlier there when he was talking to Noah about what he was going to do, the Bible said, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Oh, aren't you glad that we today are living in the day of grace? We're living in the day of grace, and we can find grace in his eyes. Although the vilest sinner you may be, blessed Jesus loves you too. Regardless of our past, regardless of those things that may have been done, Jesus loves us, and we too can find grace in his eyes. Got into the boat. The Bible said the fountains of the deep opened up, and the heavens opened up. You know the story. And how the flood came, and for 150 days, it was upon the face of the earth. It was an unexpected hour. When Noah and his family got in the ark, and God shut him in. This started to rain somehow. I believe there are a lot of folk around there Noah preached to. Come running up there, banging on that door. "Noah, let us in. We believe you now. We believe you now." But it's too late. God shut the door. Oh, when the rapture takes place, friend, there's going to be a lot of people begin to cry out to God. You talk about the church being full. The rapture takes place after service tonight. There won't be a pew empty in this church. Now, I trust none of you are filling it. But I'll guarantee you there'll be people from this little city come in and get in any way they could get in if they had to break the door down. Be around these altars bawling and squalling, building the church, but it'll be too late. They didn't expect that hour to take place. They thought it never would. And if it did, it'd be some other time down in the future. Not now. An unexpected hour. Again, the Scripture tells us in the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, about Sodom's destruction. I believe it's over the 18th chapter where God sent his angels by and talked to Abraham, said, "I'm going to destroy Sodom." You remember the story how Abraham began to intercede. He can find 50 righteous people, don't do it. God said, "No, I won't." He brought it on down to 10. And God said, "No, I'll not destroy it. You can find 10 righteous." They went on, these angels, in the form of man, went on, and you remember the story how they come into Sodom. Lot invited them in. the wickedness of that city, just like the wickedness in our nation today, the homosexuals and lesbians trying to break the door down, and God smote all of them with blindness because of their wicked acts and what they were attempting to do to these angels who were in the form of men. They said, in the morning, get your family and get out of here. We're going to destroy this city. Lot began to talk to his sons-in-law. They laughed him to scorn. They didn't believe him. Destroy this city? It's a strong city. A lot of strong buildings here. Nothing's going to happen here. And even though Lot had spoke to his sons-in-law and begged them to flee the city with him, and he knew God was going to destroy the city, if you'll notice in one of those verses, it said, while Lot lingered, the angel hastened. Lot, what is it? He knew it was going to happen. Oh, it'll be a little bit later when we'll have time. Isn't that a favorite trick of the devil? To send brimstone or sulfur down on that city and destroyed that city. It was an unexpected hour. Lot didn't expect it until he was forewarned and he had seen this miraculous thing take place. How the angel went to the door and smote all those men that were trying to break the door down with blindness. It kind of woke him up. Sometimes God has to do some things to wake us up. Sometimes he has to allow some things to take place within our own lives in order to wake us up. Because we are facing an unexpected hour. There are many of them that have come along in our life, and we've been very surprised, didn't think anything like that happened. I thought, well, this is a straight road. I'll drive right on town. If I'd known that fellow was going to whip out in front of me, I'd have put my foot on the brake when I first saw him down there. But he's sitting over on the shoulder. Unexpectedly with that. Only by the grace of God, I stand here today. Because my car spun around. I sailed across that bridge backward, raked the banister all the way down the side, knocked the entire gas tank off of it. Oh, they're having themselves a ball riding on the water. The Bible tells us that his knees began to smoke one against the other. He got so nervous, he began to shake all over. He didn't expect to see that. Now, he was expecting plenty of wine, probably plenty of exotic dancers, a lot of things that ought not to be, but he did never expect that finger to ride on the wall. He got so scared, he called his astrologers in, his soothsayers, his magicians. They couldn't tell him what the writing was. The queen said, there's a man down here that has a great spirit in him. Bring him up. They call for Daniel. He said, Daniel, if you'll just tell me what that means, I'll put a gold chain about your neck. I'll make you third ruler in the kingdom. Daniel said, King, you can keep all those things to yourself. But I'll tell you, that's meaning. Keep the road. Sometimes we come to the end of our road in the sense that I mentioned this morning when it seems there's no way out. But this was actually the end. And friend, one of these days were, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father over. He knows me. And took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one to be taken the other. We think about it as the scripture, no doubt referring to farming out in the field. But it could be also throughout the oil field. Working together on a lease. One taking the other one. Two shall be in the bed. one should be taken to the other. The husband of the wife.
So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken. I have 25 minutes till 8.
If you knew that at 20 minutes till 8, there was going to be a thief at your house, you'd be acting here right quick. You'd be on the phone calling the police to come to your address. You'd be doing something.
We don't know the hour. Said if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. He wouldn't have allowed his house to be broken into. He said, be you also ready. For in such an hour as you think not. I can tell you right when it's coming. I can tell you the moment it's coming. Though I'm not setting dates, the Bible says it's coming in such an hour as you think not. This world is not looking for him as a hope. Thank God there are those that are looking for him. And the Bible said it's unto them that look for him till he appear the second time without sin. Without sin unto salvation. Trumpet sound right after a Sunday school lesson on the rapture. Did he hate immediately when he came? But there's no forewarning when the trumpet sounds. We'll either be ready or we'll not. Be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Oh, I'm sure several of you, along with myself, when you were children, used to play a game. I don't suppose kids play these kind of games anymore. They play with computers and all these bot stores, you know. I used to make a big part of some of you nodding your head. When you got to 100, you hollered 100 real loud. And you said, who all's not hid? Holler I.
Late, we started, we talked. We saw. We called their name right where they were. It'll be too late when the trumpet sounds. We better hide. Be you also ready. For such an eye as you think about, the Son of Man cometh. Every head bowed in my
Jesus, we bless your name. Thank you, Lord, for this people who have come tonight. Thank you for the promise of your return. Lord, we know, according to the word of God and current events, that you're coming forth now. Oh, God, we don't want to be caught. May we see our heart as you see it tonight. Respond. All heads remain bowed tonight.